Okay, so we were in the middle of our discussion of the Erev of the set by the Gadol HaYir. We probably should look back at the Gemara just a little bit to refresh our memories. The reason this came up in the Gemara, because the Gemara had asked what the minimum shear was for Erev Tavshile, and it said it was a Kedayis, and they were on Tezayinim and Beis, and the Gemara had asked... And the Gemara had asked whether when we say kezayis we mean a kezayis per person or kezayis total, and that had led into the discussion of the Rav of the city setting up an Erev Tavshilin for everyone, where obviously there's only one kezayis total, or not a kezayis, or the point really being not a kezayis for everybody. So the Gemara there, I guess the second two dots, just to look back at it. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Tavshil Zet, Sleeve, Afil Kavo, Shalok, Mevushal, Kulios, Aspanish, Nazal, Chaman, Mer of Yomtov, Chilasa, Vesofo, Ein Lo, Shior. And this food, the use for Erev Tavshil, if it's roasted or stewed, overcooked, etc. There's no amount. The Gemara says, "My love ain't lo shir klal." Doesn't that mean there's no minimum amount at all? The Gemara says, "Lo ain't lo shir l'may love ayechel shir l'mata." It has no maximum, but it does have a minimum. An amar avun amar av eruve tavshilin shrichin da'as. Right, again, this was the other reason that it led into this discussion. Erev tavshilin needs intent. So the Gemara said, "Pshita das meiniach beinan." Obviously, you need the intent of the person who's setting aside the erev tavshilin. Das mishenichu lo binan o lo binan. But do you need the intent of the person for whom it's being set up for? So the Gemara says, "No tashma davu adishmol ma'arev akula naharda." That the father of Shmuel would set his erev tavshilin for the whole city of Naharda. And presumably they didn't actually have in mind for it. So from here, the Gemara proves that the person who is set aside for doesn't need to know. The Gemara brings another story like this: that Machra is Rabbi Yaakov Maridi. The Rabbi Yaakov Raidi had announced, "Mishal Niach Eruv Tavshil and Yavov Yismach Al Shali." Anyone who hasn't said an Eruv, come and rely on mine. V'ad Kama, and how much? Amar Rav Nechumi Bar Zchari Mishmei Dabai Ad Chum Shabbos. He can rely on it as long as he's within the Tchum. And then the Gemara had put one more limitation, that it was Samya, there was a blind person, Davi Masader, Masnis, and Kamed, Mar Shmuel, used to say over the Mishnayos in front of Mar Shmuel, and Chazi, Davi Yatziv. So Mar Shmuel saw that he was sad. Amar Lei, Amai Yatzivas. He said, "Why are you sad?" So Amar Lei, Dlo Sive Ruve Tavshilin. Because I didn't set aside an Eruv. So Amar Lei, Smoch, Adidi, rely on mine. Lashana, the next year, Chazi, Davi Yatziv. They saw that he was sad. So Amar Lei, Amai Yatzivas, why are you sad? Amar Lei, Dlo Sive Eruv Tavshilin. I didn't set an Eruv again. Amar Lei, so he said to him, Poshea, you are a sinner. L'kulei al-mashari, for everyone else is permitted. L'didach, azr, for you it is prohibited. So the two limitations that we have here on the Erev of the Gadol HaYir, of the community rabbi, is that he can only set it up for people who are in the Tchum, that's limitation one, and he can't set it up for a posheya, for someone who's negligent in setting up the Erev Tavshilin. So those are the two limitations that I want to examine today. We started with Tchum, but we'll go back and refresh our memories.
What was it? He can't set up for someone who's negligent in not doing their own. By definition,
he's a mu'ad.
In Poshe, meaning here the person hasn't done it twice, right? The first time he let him, because
right,
it's considered accidental. The second time he's considered someone who's negligent.
More like a mu'ad.
Well, that's what we'll come to, right? What we want to analyze is both of those, right? So we'll start with Tchum, and then we'll come to Posheya. So in Tchum, and we'll see that these machlokot will basically be, will in many ways be paralleled in Posheya. They'll be overlap. So Tchum is from last time, the last source sheet. There are basically three positions. Right? What does it mean you can't set up an Erev Tavshilin for someone outside your Tchum? So Rashi here says, Ad Tchum Shabbos, Lo Omdim Chutz LaTchum, Lo Hayadaito Shamaniach Aleihem, Lo Alu Al Libo LeZochran. That those who are outside the Tchum, he didn't think about them, right? He didn't have them in mind because he didn't think about keeping them in. So Rashi seems to say that there's no fundamental problem with setting an Erev Tavshilin for someone outside the Tchum. You could set it for someone outside the Tchum. It's just that usually you don't. And therefore, you can't assume that someone outside the Tchum, you set it for him. And we've noted that both in the area of Tchum and Poshea, we're going to see that there are going to be those who think that there's no fundamental exclusion from these two types of people, or those out of the Tchum or those who are Poshea. And it's just a technicality that you didn't have them in mind, and those who think that they're fundamentally excluded. So the Beis Yosef here summarizes the Machlokas, right? And he writes, Uperish Rashi, in 18, Dilaomdim chutz l'tchum lohaisa daito shomeniach aleihem. Right, Rashi says that the reason that outside the Tchum it doesn't work is because you didn't have him in mind. V'nireh midvarav, so it seems from what he says, sh'im peyre, sh'hum me'arev, af al osam ha'omdim, chutz l'tchum mehani. It sounds like that if you would set it explicitly for someone outside the Tchum, then that would be okay.
Number 18.
18, on the last one. Sorry. Under the section of yeah. Tchum. Of Tchum.
Sure.
And then the Shita Mekubetzet, which I interpolated here, right, says also, V'nira midvarav zalshim hisna bifeirush, shu mezaka la'osan shechus latchum sheinecholim lavo, mahani tna'o v'chein daito shel hara'a. The Shita Mekubetzet quotes from the Ra'a a modified position that if you have in mind for them and they are capable of coming on Shabbos, because they set up an Erev Tchumen, then you could rely on it. We'll see that in a moment. Now, some of the Mefarshim argue that Rashi, and I put this also in brackets, some of the Mefarshim think that for Rashi this is not the case. Right? Some of the Mefarshim take it that for Rashi, he really means it. Right, that there is no fundamental exclusion from someone outside the Tchum, even if he can't make it there on Shabbos, it doesn't matter. It's just a technicality. He normally doesn't have in mind the person outside the Tchum. If he does, then it's fine, even if the guy can't make it here on Shabbos.
But my difficulty with this is, first, what is the case? The guy who's outside the Tchum that did not make an Eruv, one is he has to know that the rabbi made it.
He needs to find it in order to cook.
Well, he has to find out after the fact.
Right, after the fact.
After the fact.
Okay. Yeah.
So one is the fact after.
So he has to come within the tomb to know that the rabbi made it.
Why does he have to?
No, because in theory, right, you could have somebody else who made an Erev Tchumen, right? Like they live 4,000 almost apart, right. And someone else made an Erev to in the middle, right? And they happened
then
to
went and told him that the rabbi.
Yeah, they had, I don't know. They happened to be meet up in the middle, right? They're both going for a stroll on Erev Shabbos, right?
Or even better, the Rav makes an Erev every Shabbos. Everybody knows that,
right? But we're talking about someone who's outside the city.
No, doesn't matter. He still goes. I mean, he lives outside the city. Let's say he lives.
Oh, he's like the
website of the Rav.
Yeah, right. Or something like that, right? No, that he's the Rav. Right, the Rav says, "I made it for all of whatever."
Yeah,
the
he knows it.
I made it for all of Ontario, and then he sees that 5 minutes before,
Rabbanim had. Not only their city, but the whole sweep also, right?
Right, yeah, it was, I don't know, the it was, whatever, the chief rabbi of Kilat Ehuv is setting it up for all of Germany, right? For Altoona, right, Hamburg, and Wandsbek, right? So the chief rabbi, that was one of the big, communities where all the controversy used to come up,
exactly.
Right? Because Rabbi Seipschitz was, the rabbi in...
Right, for a while, until he was defrocked.
Yeah, anyways.
Right, but the key is that he has to explicitly state that he's applying it to those that live beyond the Tichum.
Correct. In order for it to work for people outside the Tichum, he'd have to say it explicitly, right?
And does he have to do that each time?
And presumably, unless he, right. I guess he could, make a generic statement at the beginning of his life or something.
Right.
Sorry, but what does the Chinuch and the Shita Mekubetzet mean when they say he has to physically be able to go?
So the extreme possibility is how some people understand Rashi. Then there's the middle position, which is a mix, right? Which is, there's no problem of someone being outside the Tchum, like technically being outside the Tchum. He needs to make it into the Tchum somehow. Now, there's two ways of explaining that limitation, right? And one is to say that for some reason, right, Chazal set up a formality, right, that even if you have a das, you're only able to set up an Eruv Tavshilin for someone that's in your vicinity. And we'll see why that might be. But that would be one. To just say it's a formal limitation, because I'll say you're only allowed to set it up for people in your vicinity, and now we're going to define your vicinity, not just as the tchum, but anyone who could, in theory, make it into your tchum, into your vicinity on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. That would be one, right? It's sort of just a formality. The second possibility is that we've talked about, right, the different roles of Erev Tavshilin. Right? One is that it's a reminder. The second is that it, at some level, starts your cooking process for Shabbos. Now, we can say that it's at some level a reminder if you find out before Yontif that the rabbi in the next town said an Erev Tavshilin had you in mind. But it's very hard to say that I have no way of reaching him on Shabbos, and yet his Erev is the beginning of my cooking process. So I would say those are the two ways of formulating it, right? Either this is proof that an Erev Tavshilin is more than just a reminder. It's actually somehow part of the process. So you at least plausibly need to be able to get to his house for Shalosh Shudos, right? And, you know, get Shirayim from the Rebbe or something like that, right? If you can't do that, then, right, in what way is he cooking for you? Or you just say it's a formality. Now, who said it's a formality, right? That's the Ran, right? The Ran that the Beis Yosef cites here says, Aval Haran kasev atchum Shabbos, dimistama daito kolonim time bitchum. All right, so first he sounds like it's Das, but then he says no. Aval tvei mehachi, more than the tchum, efshar dafilu b'shaperesh umasne. It could be that even if he explicitly said, and he made a condition that anybody, even someone outside the tchum, can join his Erev, it doesn't work. She'enu b'din she'arev echara kol la'olam. Because Chazal, when they set it up, said, it's pasnished, right? It just can't be that one person sets it up for the whole world. So the Ran seems to take the first limitation. It's a formality, right? It's Chazal, basically, for whatever reason. Either because it's a heker, and it's not a heker if, you know, somebody knows that, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, Rav Steinman is setting up an Erev in Bnei Brak for the whole world, fine. But if one person set up for the whole world, right, that's not a heker, right? It doesn't remind anybody of anything. Right, it's not in any plausible way the beginning of your cooking process. So we set up a formality. You're only allowed to set it up for people in your vicinity, and that's it. How do we define your vicinity? The tchum. That's it. Right?
How do you reconcile that with the actual Erev, the wording in the Moxer?
Well, we say in the whole city, don't we?
The
Erezet,
yeah.
Rabbi Erezet, right.
So Erez more than tchum.
No, because tchum is the city plus the outskirts of the city, right? It's not, tchum is...
A big city is...
right, but it's still, that's still all within the tchum, right? Remember, the tchum is till the end of the city, is until the end of the city limits, and then 2,000 amos from the city limits, right? So it's however big your city is, plus 2,000 amos outside of it.
Okay.
Right? I mean, not 2,000 amos from where you are, it's the city, and then it's outskirts.
But the bracha in the Maser is to allow you to cook, not to walk outside the tchum. Or it's the same bracha for everything.
No, right. No, meaning the bracha just for Erev Tavshilin, right? But for the Ran, it's just the when we decided that we don't want, you know, one person to make for the whole world, so we had to set an arbitrary limitation. And we said, well, what's the normal limitation? Cities are normally defined as the city and their outskirts until the tchum. So we said that amount, right? The Ran hasn't introduced the possibility of walking in. He's just saying, whoever is in your city is in your city. Whoever is not is not. You can set up for one in your city, right? The Shita Mikubetz is quoting the Ra'a, right? And we'll see this also as the position of some of the Bali Tosvos, think that, right, there's the pragmatic concerns that you have to be able to make it into the city. So then it depends not on whether you're actually in the Tchum, but whether you could make it into the Tchum through your own Eir of Tchumen, right? But yeah, I mean, the Erev Tavshilin won't allow you to do that. You'll need to set up an Erev Tchumen. That might then allow you to do it, but you can't kill two birds with one stone.
The cooking that is going to be done by this person, it's going to be done outside of the Tchum.
It's going to be done...
Yeah.
In other words, he's physically able to go in, but the actual cooking is going to be outside.
Yes, okay. Yes. I mean, it could be done inside, but yeah, I mean, it could also be done outside.
Well... Okay, it's more difficult if it's done inside because then he has to prepare before Yontov to have the wood and everything else to cook.
And it could be he's going, you know, his son lives in the city and he's going there, he's cooking at his house. Son, well, no, because he could be doing the cooking, right? He, you know, he comes, meaning,
So right. That's another question regarding an eruv. If someone walks into a house where someone has made an eruv, are you saying he can't cook in that house because he did not make an eruv? He can't be soima.
Correct. Right, because you have to have been involved right. in the eruv. Right? It's not on the house, it's on the people who are doing the cooking. Right?
Okay.
There's an element of this, you know, why you have to have been. Because otherwise, how would you know? You just know that this, what you said before, this rub makes an eruv every week. And maybe he's not homeless.
Right, so.
Can you rely on.
So, sorry, maybe the.
Right, now, now, geographic now I think one of the things we've.
Who's likely to know about.
Yeah, but that's the same
know.
Issue.
Yeah,
it's
now.
The guy's in the city. And forget.
Right, now I think at this point. I think at this point everybody knows that, you know, the Rav does it, and we all in our Erev Tavshil all have this statement where we're doing it for everybody else. Right. So somebody's made it for you, so you're covered.
It's like the Erev is to rely on it. We assume that Erev is up unless we're told otherwise.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
Sort of.
So can I ask? Let's say you live in Manhattan and you're walking to Brooklyn. So you don't know that Brooklyn Rav made an Erev Tavshil for you because you were in Manhattan, you decide to walk over. Right? So how, I mean, Chumrah seems to be a limitation at that time, right? But now.
Well, your Manhattan rabbi might have said it for you.
Right. But right. you're walking to Brooklyn and you're cooking there for some reason.
Right, so but again, it's on the person, right? So if you live in Manhattan, your rabbi did it, then you'd be okay, right? Now, if your Manhattan rabbi didn't do it and you walked into Brooklyn, it would depend on this machlokas.
Okay.
But if... now, of course, it gets all complicated because, right, the Gemara is assuming a case where there's, like, one rabbi of the city, so he sets it up for everybody. Like, you know, meaning, you know, we can ask all types of interesting shailas in the modern context, right? If Rabbi Kropkin sets it up and you know, you normally daven not at the bayit, right? And, you know, whatever rabbi of whatever shul in Thornhill forgets to make it, right? You assume that Rabbi Kropkin had in mind everyone in Thornhill and not just the members of Bayit, right? We can get into all types of interesting combos.
Well, that's
combos.
The question that Gerard asked. I mean, is New York one ear, or is it considered to be because of the bodies of water, or the bridges, I guess?
Oh, well, that's a big Eruv,
yeah,
Eruvin
that's
question.
Complicated question.
Yes.
We don't have that problem.
Okay.
You would if you lived on the island.
Yeah, Toronto Island, that's true. That would be the island.
No one has that in mind. I just assert that nobody has Toronto Island in mind for an Erev Tavshil. It's true. It's one of the few places. Okay, so the Magen Mishnah that's quoted here from in the Beis Yosef. It's called Rav Magen Mishnah Rashba. There are a few Erev Tchumen v'yachal lavo eino somech alav shalom nasan daito min hastam elal osan shein. He takes the strong position that it means literally, right? You can't set up the eruv for anybody outside your tchum, even if they can make it into your tchum. Now he bases it on das, right? Lufichach imperish, but again, therefore, since it's based on das, if you explain it explicitly, then you can. Okay. So what we have so far is we have the position of the extreme position of Rashi that it's only about das. In theory, you could make it for the whole world. The people, the Ra'ah, who thinks that you need a combination, that they need to be able to make it into the city. They don't have to actually have been in the city or the Tchum before Yontif, but they need to be able to make it in, and you need to have them in mind. You have the Ran's formal statement that an Eruv is only, right, Chazal didn't want one person making an Eruv for the whole world, so we just limit it to the Tchum, which sounds like even someone who could make it into the Tchum doesn't count, because it was a formality. But the middle position that we raised, right, that the reason that you're limited to Tchum is because you need to plausibly say that you are part of this cooking process, so then the position should be that you're able to make it for anyone who's within the Tchum, or could make it into the Tchum, whether or not you explicitly say that. Once you say the city means anybody who could make it into the city and theoretically benefit from the Erev Tavshilin. And that is the position of the Chachmei Tzarfas, quoted in the Meiri in 19. The Chachmei Tzarfas, Horu, Sha'af Mishu, Chutz, Le'ir, El She'irav, Lo, Erev Tchumen, Merav Yom Tov, Uvalo, Bezocha, Erev Yom Tov, Yedei, Ruvei Tchumen. Right? They paskin that if someone is outside the city, but he'd made an Erev Tchumen, so he can get into the city, he can rely on it. And he is part of the city. He's one of the members of the city for these purposes. And some say it's not true. They thought that it's not true because you only have in mind the people in the Tchum. Unless you explicitly had in mind. So we have three basic positions. We have the extreme da'as position, that in theory you could set it up for the whole world. And tchum is just an assumption that most people didn't set it up for you unless you're in the tchum. But you could solve it simply by having them in mind. All the way to the other extreme, you have the Ran, who says there was a formal limitation that you have to be within my vicinity, which is the tchum, and then the middle position, which seems to be that since an Erev Tavshilin is the beginning of your cooking process, anyone who plausibly was in your, could make it to your house for Shal Shudis, in theory could eat that Erev Tavshilin with you, so he's either in your tchum or could get to you through his Erev Tchumen, those people are going to be within your vicinity. So those are the three, I think, basic positions for this limitation of tchum. Shulchan Aruch in 20 quotes this halacha and he says, "Kishem arev alachem achirim eino tzarich lifrot ela meiniach bechlal al kol bnei ha'ir v'kol mishu b'tchum ha'ir yotzibo." He summarizes this halacha: when you set it up, you don't have to specify every person; you can just say everybody in the city, and everybody within the tchum can rely on it. And the Rama says, "Al mishu chutz l'tchum eino yotzibo." Afilu hiniach eruve tchumen v'yachol lavo lekan elam kein hisna alav hiniach behedjab. So the Rama says that even if you live, even if you could make it to the city with the eruv tchumen, he still won't yet let you rely on it unless you have kavana. So he takes this mixed position that we saw in the Ra'ah and the Magen Mishnah, that you both need to be able to make it in. Right, there is the limitation that you need to be able to eat it, and two, he also thinks, like Rashi, that there's a presumption that you wouldn't have in mind somebody who's outside of the tchum, and therefore, in order to solve the two problems, you need the Rav to A, have in mind anyone who comes into the city and could make it into the city on Yom Tov, and two, you need the person to actually be able to make it into the city through an Eir of Tchumen, even if he doesn't live within the Tchum.
Another question. Bnei Eir, you say anybody comes in, a stranger and everything like that. So is that a difference between Orachayim type of Shalas versus Choshe Mishpat, where you're not a Bnei Eir unless you're there for 30 days?
Yeah. I don't think that, right, we're not agreeing to say.
It takes a very...
I haven't seen anybody say it, right? It sounds like it's, Ray Kropkin and Alan will get up Friday night and say, "Welcome to all our members and guests." Yes. And right, there's an assumption that
you're part of the community for that Shabbos.
Yeah, I assume that's my guess that we don't have all the formalities.
Pay your taxes.
Right, I assume it's not based on membership dues. It's just a guess. I mean, that would be an interesting twist.
Okay. If you're going by the concept of being able to eat it, we don't have in the tefillah where it says that my house is open and whoever wants
True.
To come in and eat.
But it's a theoretical. It's a. Erev Tchumen is very theoretical in that sense.
Erev Tavshilin is theoretical.
Erev Chatzeres is not at all, right? This is the, that matzah box that we put, you can walk in and take it if you need it for whatever.
Right. So I'm saying with this Erev Tavshilin, if you're saying the concept is that you start cooking for Yontif, people don't actually have access to it. When it's in the rabbi's house, it's
correct. Closed. It's a it's a theoretical. Yes. He could invite you to have shirayim.
But then it should be part of the tefillah. It should be part when we say that the eruv is yotzei everyone. If that is part of it,
interesting.
It should be part of the
right. I mean, in the end, we do think that eruv is primarily a heker.
Right.
It's just I assume that these limitations that you have to be able to access it are based on that other element. This idea of it being. I said, but you're right. Meaning, primarily, it's still a heker. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer in the Shevet Halevi just both deal with the very modern shaila, right? Which people really couldn't imagine quite the same way in the time of Chazal. Which is, what happens if the rabbi makes the eruv an hour before Yontif, right? In the time of Chazal, if the rabbi made the eruv an hour before Yontif, almost anybody who was going to be in the city was in the city. And everybody who was in the city was going to be in the city, Like, how, right? You're going by foot. Even if you're going by horse, how far are you getting an hour before Yontif? You're not traveling that close to Shkia. But now, the rabbi makes an hour before Yontif, right? You're just getting in your car, and you could be 40 miles out, right? 50 miles, you know, how, depending on how close you want to cut it to Yontif, right? You could be, you know, six, and how much you want to break the law, you could be 60, 70 miles out of the city, right? You could easily be in, you know, in Hamilton for Yontif, even if when Rabbi Karapkin got up and made that Eruv, you were in the city, right? So how do these models of Tum translate into a reality where, and it works in both directions, right? That, yeah, that someone could have been so far out of the Tum, right? Not within the Tum. The guy was, you know, or, you know, take an extreme, right? The guy is, you know, is on a plane, right? He's cutting it really close. He lands, you know, an hour before Yontif and is coming straight from the airport. But he was, you know, 100 miles away, you know, and, right, you know, several thousand, right, feet up in the air.
I thought he was asking another question, which is the guy who's, the rabbi who's making the Eruv himself, got, you know, was in the city, made the Eruv.
And then left.
Out of the city, got caught in traffic and couldn't make it back.
No. Right, we could ask that question also. I didn't see anyone directly deal with it, but I saw this one by both of them. That's, yeah, Alan.
That's why the rabbi,
I'm not sure I understand the relevance of where the beneficiary is. An hour before Shabbos, when whoever it is making the Eruv Tevshuah.
Right. So let's come to our.
What we've said at this point is, it's effectively, where was I when Shabbos started?
Well, so that's the question, right? So that's the question they're dealing with, right? As we've seen different models, like for the Ran, who says that there's a formality, you have to be within the Tum.
But
so,
it's the beginning of Shabbos,
right? So it could be, but you at least have to.
When the rabbi,
right,
or
so you,
is made,
right, so at least, but you at least have to articulate that it could be that that's not the case, right? It could be that he means because of the formality, so it's based on when you set it aside, right, or right. But that's the question they're grappling with right now. It could be that, sure, that everything goes by the beginning of Yontif, but this is the question that they deal with. So the Tzitz Eliezer, for example, in 21, right? Sheila Sohi, his question: Ma ding shema ariv erev tafshilin v'ma'ariv. The Tzitz Eliezer's question is your question, right? What if the Rav leaves, right? Right. The other question: v'ma'ariv no se'el l'shabbos michutz la'ir olamakom shel yuchol la'agia misham b'shabbos ne'imahani eruva l'shchenim. Right, the Rav leaves. Does his Eruv count? Right, he said the Eruv, and then he fled the city. Right, Rabbi Karapkin decided, you know what? I need a break. I'll set the Eruv, but I am out of here for Pesach. Right, whatever it might be, does it work? Right, because he says the Kol Echad Heve Kenasno B'Migdal V'Nabufan of Ava Mavteach, because the Eruv is as if it was put in a box, you lock the door, and you lost the key. The Mefurish Be'erovin, because that actual case comes up in the Gemara, and the Gemara says that's bad, right? If nobody can access it, it's bad. So now what happens, right? Rabbi Karapkin makes it, leaves in his house, and flees the city, right? The whole family gets out of here for Yontif, it's stuck in his house. So what's the halacha? So he says, Aval Magen Avram, maybe B'Shem Yam Shel Shlomo, de Behisna Mahani, Rak Im Heiniach, well, Eruv Tafshil Tchumen, the Kachma Varn Kavanas HaRama. Now, Kol Nosei Kelev HaShulchan Aruch, he said, the Magen Avram Paskens, like the Rama, right, that in order for an Eruv Tafshilin to work, you need to have Kavana, and you need to be able to make it on Yontif. But again, here, the Ma'ariv can't, he's left. The Yontif Yom Shel Shlomo, for Ishi Shemazber Mifurash, the Atam Divina Shecho Lavo Etzlo, Dinehu. He said, why is it that the person you set it aside for has to make it to you on Shabbos? To who's that? Because they can't even, in theory, rely on the Eruv. Right? So they can't say, and this is the Svar I kept coming back to, that in any way, shape, or form, it's the beginning of their cooking process. Right? How can you say that this Eruv is the beginning of your cooking? You can't eat it. So that's why you have to have set up an Eruv Tchumen. The Kol Heicha Shalamish Eruv Bishvlan Lo Yuchul B'Shabbos Lagiel Makom HaEruv V'hodin gam ma'arev ba'atzmo, da'zai lo mahani ruv davshilin, zet l'shum echad she'evru avuro. Says, therefore, if the eruv is put away, and now no one can reach it, it doesn't work. Right? So if Rekhrabin either locks it in his house, or takes his eruv with him, right? Even if he made it here in Thornhill, doesn't matter, because what you learn from these halachos is that there is that pragmatic component. Is can you access it? Can this plausibly be the beginning of your cooking process? And if you manage to flee the city, right, your eruv ceases to work for the people in the city.
He actually says more than that. He says, for Rabbi Karofkin who left it behind. It's
and then he swallows and he says, and not only that, but it doesn't work the other way around as well. Right, it doesn't work for the Ma'arev, right? Or right, if he leaves it in at his house, and it doesn't work for the people he made it for, because either he took it with them, in which they can't access it, or he left it in the house locked, and they can't access it. Either way, it doesn't work. Once you remove the access, so then it doesn't work. The Shevet HaLevi, also Vosner, also deals with this. And he says like this, Mikol Mokom Adayin Yer Lefin Esdaiti, I think, De'ein Nidon Didon Lomel Rashba Marshal. He says, I disagree with the Tzitz Eliezer. I don't think that this case of is similar to the Rashba and the Marshal that we just quoted. Because he said, why? De'eish Lomer Dizech Yisarn Bedin Zichiya. De'ein El Yachol Lezakot, L'mishin El Yachol Lavo El HaTavshil. The reason that you can't set up an Eruv for somebody who can't make it to the city is because Chazal didn't allow you to be mezaket him. They didn't allow you to make him part of the Eruv. Avol b'misha meniach kvar al atzmo kalacha. But if you set up your Eruv already properly, elad achar kachal liar acheres, but then you left, avol mikol makom hischel ba'atmo levashom merav yom tov. But, right, let's say, right, the rabbi set it up erev yantiv, started cooking, and then decided, I need a break. And he left the city. So he said, that's not parallel to the case. Right? The Tzitz Eliezer assumes that what did we learn from all these cases? That Eruv Tavshilin has a practical component. Can you be part of it or not? So he says, if you leave the city, you can't be part of it, it's over. The Shevet HaLevi takes a formal approach and says, no, the limitations weren't based on this pragmatic consideration that you need to be able to eat it. It's a formality that when you set aside the Eruv Tavshilin, you can only set it aside for someone within your domain that at that moment could theoretically be part of your Eruv. But he said, therefore, if you set up the Eruv, you started cooking for Pesach, and then you fled the city, so who cares that you fled the city? Did you or did you not set aside the Eruv properly, start the cooking process? Okay, you can't eat it. But you set it in motion. You've already given it over to everybody in the city. You can't take that back now, right? It's not pragmatic. It's a formality. Did you or did you not start everybody's cooking process? If you started cooking based on it, so you started relying on it, you started the process, okay, so you left, but who cares? So they can't get to the Eruv. Big deal.
What if he takes it with him?
So this is what he's, right, this is what he deals with. So he says, so he thinks it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because he started cooking, right? He argues in the Tzitz Eliezer and said it's not the pragmatic component. No, right? It's a formality. When you set up the Eruv, it needs to be that they're within your domain because it needs to be that you're starting their cooking process. Once you've started it, you can't take it back. You've set the ball in motion, and that's all there is to it. He can't come to the Eruv? Okay. He can't come to the Eruv. Doesn't matter. He said that, Adayin lo shamanu zemi divrei Rashba, but I don't know. Bifrat, he says, Barov mikrim gela b'nei abayin nisharim. And he said, besides, most of the time, even if the rabbi flees, he didn't take the Eruv with him. He left his family. He's like, you know what? I need a vacation, right? I'm leaving the family behind, right? We'll leave Rabbi Karofkin out of it. Some other rabbi, right? Rabbi Karofkin is wonderful and would stay with us for Yontif. Someone else fled, right?
A modern Israel, they're actually fleeing. running away to...
And he said, look, big deal. He said, he is not even sure that if you couldn't make it to Erev, it's not a problem. But he said, but besides that, so the rabbi left. Big deal. He left the food.
Can Rabbi Pinto still do an Erev? Just kidding.
LSU, Olech Makomacher, he's going to Rosa. Imkane, your whole level of Tafshu, but they could eat it anyways. Vichainim, Nimlach, Akresha, Niach, Latzis, Minamakum, and even if he changes his mind to leave, Imkane, Bishasa, Nachoso, a Rebu, Tafshil, and the Skyim, Tachonis, Kazaka, Alacha. He already set up, right? He already fulfilled the formal requirement, the Takan of Chazal. Bivadai, Moela, Erev, Tafshil. He's only unsure, Eladim, me, Kariyadar, Shul, Yakan, Viloyacho, Lavo, Yeshktasle, his topic. He's not sure if this is true, if the guy knew when he set up the Erev Tafshilin he wasn't going to be here. Right? Because then, even when he set it up, he's lacking something in the formal component. Right? He's willing to say it's a formal thing, and therefore as long as you thought you were going to be in the city, so you started the process, and now you can't take it back. He's not sure what would happen if you knew you were going to flee.
Can't be an agent for the community.
Yeah. Right, because then you... you know what, he's like, eh... He's like, even there, he says, maybe we should be Mekel because it's Derabanan, but he thinks the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir. Okay. But he says, in his last line in the second paragraph, he says, Ledina, Alkar Chalev, no Telahakel, Alkol Banam Dievet. I think even there, it's probably fine. I think. And Avalachatchi Lahachmir Zeh, you shouldn't be Mekel on that, but I think Maker I did it really does work. When he did Asa Bach Bazeh, Tzarech in the Medivrei Aran Muchach Bever Delis Lehi Klal Lachanal Hesh Mokom Lachal Minun Labachlin Lidan etc. Mikom Mokom Hani Lan Shita Zabachli Zaral Kol Panam Lachatchil. Okay, so you have these two approaches play themselves out in the Tzitzil Yezer. The Tzitzil Yezer ends up taking the more pragmatic considerations, and therefore assuming the Ma'arev, the food, has got to stay in the city because it's about creating this thing where you could start the process, where you could plausibly say that you're going to eat the ear of in some way on Yantiv, and the Sheva Alevi takes the formal approach, which in this case comes out as a kula, right? For the Ron, it's a chumrah. For him, it's a kula, right? That all that matters is that when you set up the Eruv, you're in the city. He's sure that if you didn't know you were leaving, that it's okay. He's misupak if you knew you were leaving. But even there, lahalacha, he thinks you can make it. So again, you see this tension. Is the limitation of tchum formal, or is it... pragmatic, plays out in this case in Poskim. So now moving to the next one of Poshea. So before we get to the actual limitation of Poshea, this is for Gerard, because you asked this 3 weeks ago. Can we use this Gemara as a proof as to the chiyuv of a blind person in mitzvos derabanan, right? So I just put the source for you. The Shut Mishnah Sachir writes, and this is just the summary from the Daf al Daf, because I don't know who the Mishnah Sachir is and I couldn't even find it. But he says, Hiksha Mikan, the Muchach, the Gam Suma Chai B'mitzvos D'Rabbanan. Right? He says, doesn't this imply that a Suma is obligating rabbinic mitzvos? Right? Udulo Kishilas Yaivitz, unlike the Yaivitz, because of the Patr B'mitzvos D'Rabbanan. And the Yaivitz thinks that they're not. V'shuv Kazav Sham Lidchos Araya. And then he tried to parry the proof, because he said, "Dekan gabe eruv tafshilin have a lesser daraisa. Maybe the eruv tafshilin is a related to a daraisa. Dim lo yaseh ba'ofin di yeshayeh hoil osa iser daraisa bezeh. Because if you didn't cook it in a way that you would have hoil, so then it would be the iser of cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So since eruv is related to the iser of cooking on Yantiv, which is daraisa, so maybe this is different, but." The simplest understanding is yes, that the Mishnah Sachir's Havamina is right, that the Yaivitz is incorrect. Right? The Yaivitz's claim that blind people are not obligated in Derabbanan mitzvos is, based on this Gemara, presumably incorrect. And that is the at least the Havamina of the Mishnah Sachir. Okay.
Why are blind people not?
I don't know why he thinks this is the case. I don't even know why he thinks this.
I think your Rebbe wrote a whole thing, I remember.
He did. He wrote an article about blind, but we paskin that blind people are chayav in mitzvah, so I don't even know what this, right? I don't know. I just saw this. You raised it. What to do with it? I looked at the Yaivitz. The Yaivitz is endless. And I didn't have the Mishnah Yaivitz, the Mishnah Sachir inside. Like the one on Hebrew books is a little bit messed up, and anyways. Okay. But now moving to the limitation of prosheia again, right? Why is it that you can't set aside an Erev Tavshilin for someone who forgot his to make an Erev twice? That is prosheia. So here again, we're going to have the same type of machlokas that we did before. We're going to have those who think there's no fundamental problem, and then we're going to have those who think there is a fundamental problem. Rashi, Kidarko, just like he thought by Tchum there was no fundamental problem, it was a Da'as issue that presumably the rabbi didn't have in mind someone outside the Tchum, thinks exactly the same thing about Posheya. Right? In 2, he writes, Lididach Aser, for the blind person's Aser, Shein Daiti Al Mazidin, I don't have you in mind. I'm not worried about the people who keep forgetting to make an Erev Tavshilin, implying that if he did have in mind, it would be fine. Right, and we'll see that that is in fact how that is going to be standard
psak. But you can also learn the Gemara that he was being very specific to this person who was had the Gerus and Mishnais and who was reading Mishnais, who was
correct.
A big Tamei Chacham, right?
And yes.
Important. And
yes, and we will see that people will pick up on this. And I think someone else, I don't even remember who it was. Was it you, Alan? I think it was you. When you saw this Gemara the first time, suggested that maybe The Mar Shmuel was just trying to give him a knas, but he could have come up with some other knas, and we'll see somebody who says that too, right? This is so Rashi seems to think that there is no fundamental limitation; it's just a das question.
Well, if it's that question, then it would have to be part of the making of the Erev Tavshilin.
Correct. You'd have to say, "I am going to do it even for a posheya." Right, and we will see. That is what the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are going to say. Either that is presumed or that you do it explicitly, even for Poshim. There's another possibility that it's a Das issue, but not a Das issue on the behalf of the rabbi. It's a Das issue on behalf of the Posheya. Right, the Shittu Mikubetzes, right, basically says like this. He says, well, wait a second. What happened? The Mar Shmuel saw the blind guy and he said, why are you sad? And he says, because I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. He says, don't worry, rely on my Erev. A year later, he sees him again. And he sees him sad again. He says, why are you sad? Because I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Now, wait a second. Didn't he know that Mar Shmuel made an Erev for him? Why was he sad? It must be that he didn't have in mind to rely on the rabbi's Erev. Right? Because if he did, right, then he wouldn't be sad. He would have realized that he could rely on Mar Shmuel's Erev just like he did the year before. So the Shittu Mikubetzes says that it's a Das problem, but not the rabbi's problem. It's the Suma's problem. The Yesh Mefarshim Dilu Samach Ali Ruvo Mahani. Some say that if he did rely on it, it would work. V'hachi Kamarle. This is what he's saying. Kaven Shanta Rogila Arev. Since you normally make your own Erev, V'achshav Ata Atzuv. And now you're sad, Shaloi Rafta, Galita Adaitcha, you've revealed that your intent, She'inata Rotza Lismoch Ali Ruvi, that you don't want to rely on mine, Vein Rotzin Elotzi, Elasomech Alai Olamishin Avaki, and I'm not going to make an Erev for someone who doesn't want to use my Erev. So, right, the problem is not fundamentally with me, it's with you. But again, it's a technicality, that if the Mar Shmuel, or right, if the rabbi, or the person had in mind, you could, right, the problem would evaporate. It's just a technicality that they didn't have in mind.
Well, they didn't have to have in mind, though. It just, they didn't have it in mind not to rely on it, right? Because didn't we do more Pascal?
Right. You don't have to have in mind specifically, but he's saying you clearly had in mind not to, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't be sad. So you're not relying on it. But again, we could make those problems disappear as long as you had in mind.
But that doesn't fit in with the Gemara, because the Gemara says
it's a hard read. Well, you see what he does at the end, this weird thing, right? Is the Ein Ritzoni Lahotzi Ela Somech Alai, and I don't want to set it up unless you want, right? So he plays with it, right? It's your fault, but because you don't want it, I didn't want you either, right? It's the right. Yeah, I mean, yes, the language of the Gemara makes it sound like I don't want you to be part of my Erev, so he has to play with it. That it's I don't want anyone who doesn't want me, right? Right? You're not gonna right? Yeah, something like that, right? Okay. You didn't reject me. I rejected you because you rejected me. Right? Whatever it is. Fine. now, the Rush is a little bit ambiguous. The Rush sounds like he thinks that it's fundamental. That for some reason, Chazal said, Eruv, the Rav's Eruv works for anybody unless he is defined as a posheya, right? As a perpetual sinner. At least that's how the Beis Yosef takes him, right? The Rosh is a little bit ambiguous. He just says, "V'im nizkar, if you remembered, v'lanich eruv ulechatchila somech aruva shogadol ha'ir." Right? If he decides, I'm not setting up an eruv, I'm just going to always rely on the rabbi because I don't have to set it up. Posheu v'inayotze be'eruvo. So then he's a posheya, he's a sinner. You're always supposed to try to set up your own eruv. If you decide, I'm not even going to try, I'm just going to rely on the rabbi's eruv, you're a sinner and you can't use the rabbi's eruv. Now he doesn't explicitly say that he thinks it's fundamental, right? That you can't, that the Rav couldn't say, I'm going to include the Bajan, but the Beis Yosef understood him that way. I mean, note, and many people argue on that, but we'll see that that's how the Beis Yosef understands him. So in 5, he says, we'll just look at it, he quotes the Gemara. Right, so he quotes the Rush as this, and then he says, Aval Rashi Perish, right, if you look in the middle. But Rashi says not that way, namely, She'ein Daiti al Mizidim, that I don't think about the Mizidim, right, and he contrasts that to the Rush. So the Rush thinks that it's not about Das, right, so the Beis Yosef presents this as a machlokas, that Rashi thinks it's a technicality that I didn't have him in mind, and the Rosh thinks fundamentally if someone is a sinner, he chose not to make his own Eruv twice, so then he's not allowed to be part of it. Now, there are many, the Bach, for example, thinks that the Rosh thought the same as Rashi. I mean, the Rosh doesn't explicitly say not like Rashi, he just doesn't say like Rashi, right? He's just sort of summarizing the Gemara. But the Beis Yosef at least thinks that this is the machlokas, the Rush and Rashi. At the end, he quotes Rabbi Yerucham, right? Sort of the third paragraph here in the Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yerucham, Acha Shekosev Devei Rush, Kosev Avo Mori Harav Avram Ben Asmael. I have no idea who that is. Kosev Umistavra De Idna De Nagish Lechzir Ma'arev Akol Bnei Masa Umachres Mutter Lismachol Av Lechatchil Av Lovei Poshea. Right, Rabbi Yerucham explicitly quotes the Rosh and then says, but my Rebbe said differently, like Rashi, and then he already says that the Minog already began to be, right, that the rabbi would get up and say, everybody, I just know that I'm setting up an Eruv, so therefore you're not even a Posheya, right? So there seems to be a second level machlokas here. Right, which is why is he a posheya? The Rush thinks he's a posheya because he didn't make his own eruv and he's supposed to. Right? Ben Yerucham says he's a posheya because he didn't ensure that someone had made an eruv for him. Right, those are two different positions. Right, so the second question in posheya is why are you a posheya? Right, for the Rush, you're a posheya because Chazal want you lechatchila to set up your own eruv. Rabbi Yerucham thinks, no, there's no lechatchila for you to set up your own Eruv. It's just that you can't, it's lechatchila that you know going into Yantif that an Eruv was made for you and you don't find out post facto. But if you know the Rav is setting up an Eruv for you, so even lechatchila you don't have to set up your Eruv. Right? So now we have two machlokot. Right? Who is a posheya? Is it one who doesn't set up his own Eruv or someone who doesn't ensure that an Eruv has been set up for him? And two is why can't the posheya rely on the Eruv of the Rav? Is it because either he or the rabbi didn't have in mind? Or is it a fundamental exclusion, like we saw by the Ran, by Tchum, that there's this category called posheya that cannot be included in the Eruv? The Aruch HaShulchan in 6 says tries to figure out why it is that the Rosh even took this position. Right? Why would you think that lichadchila, you're not allowed to rely on the rabbi's Eruv? Why would you think you have to set up your own Eruv? Why is that a poshe to begin with? Rabbi Yezlov in Vitaimel Shal Raj, Lamalo Nizmok lichadchila Eruvo Shagodolai Eruv. Alo Baharbe Dvaramanu Yodzin Ayidei Achirem. Says, why shouldn't you use the rabbi's Eruv? We do that all the time, right? We rely on everybody else. Kimo Kiddush, Havdalah, Chayotzevim. We don't have to make our own Kiddush. One person makes Kiddush for everyone. One makes Havdalah.
Yeah, we're there.
What?
We're there. The difference.
Yeah, so, right, so it could be different. That's what he'll get into. But his first question is why, right? There's something very intuitive about Rabbeinu Yerucham, right? That it's only called Poshea if you didn't ensure that their Eruv was made for you. But why shouldn't you let someone else make it for you? V'lama nikra Poshea, why should it be called Poshea? So he says, Bishlama. So I understand if you forgot it twice in a row. So you're clearly, right, just being negligent. Because otherwise, you forgot it once, you'll remember the next yontif, right? If you actually felt bad about it, you would make sure not to make the same mistake twice in a row. But still, you're not being negligent, you're having in mind, I am relying on the rabbi's Eruv. I didn't, right? This is not an accident. I'm doing it with Kavana. V'nira li. So he says, Dihine shnei tamim nisbaru be'eruvei tafshilen. There were two reasons that we explained for Eruv tafshilen. Echad mipnei kavod yantif. One was for the honor of yantif shaloz yizalzulubo, that you shouldn't degrade yomtov. Echad mipnei kavod shabbos. The other is for Shabbos, Shiyuvra Mana Yafil Shabbos Vil Yechra Kol Yomtov. You should set aside something for Shabbos and not waste it, and not use it all up on Yantiv. Lufize Asa Shapir. So it makes sense. He says, Dinehila Dilataima de Kavad Yantiv. Shal Yizalzulubo Moel Gama Yideachir. The Heker component, right? Now, what the Aruch HaShulchan is introducing is something we haven't seen yet.
Right.
Is that Eruv Tafshilin, the Heker / beginning of the cooking process, is in fact both true, and it depends on the two reasons that we saw for Eruv Tafshilin in the Gemara. The reason in the Gemara that Eruv Tafshilin is supposed to remind you to not cook from Yom Tov to Chol, it's only a heker. It's only a reminder. Yom Tov is important, so don't go cooking from Yom Tov to Chol. So he says, for the heker component, sure, rely on the rabbi's Eruv. Why do you care? Right, you made the heker. You weren't mezalz on Yom Tov. You didn't degrade Yom Tov. You made the point that you did something before you just cooked from Yom Tov going into Shabbos. Aval l'tayma de kavod Shabbos. But if the reason for an Eruv Tafshilin is for kavod Shabbos, to make sure that you prepared food for Shabbos, then that's component two of Eruv Tafshilin, not the heker, but that you started the cooking process. He says that is a toelet who b'masa soma chalachirum. You don't get that when you rely on the rabbi's eruv. Hello, who al kol panim yachol lechalos hakol yomtov? Because you could use all your food up for yontif. Ach misha shachach. If someone forgot, oshu amaretz bechrech lismoch rak al tamechad. So if he has to, he'll rely on only one of the reasons, right? So he's saying it's not like a lechatchila b'di'eved. You know, it's a did you fulfill two components in Eruv Tafshilin or one? Did you only get the heker component, or did you also get the prep component? So the Aruch HaShulchan, right, tries to explain the Rush and basically say, right, that there's this hierarchy. Eruv Tafshilin has two components. The heker, to remind you that it's Yom Tov is important and you can't just cook from Yom Tov to whenever you want. For that, theoretically, you could rely on the Gadol Ha'ir. The second component is that you're supposed to prepare for cooking for Shabbos. That you really can't do in any meaningful way by using the rabbi's Eruv. So he says like this. If it happens once by accident, so Chazal said, so as long as you have one component, we'll let you cook for Shabbos. Right? As long as you have the heker component. But if you're going to consistently rely on this half-baked Eruv that only accomplishes one of the two goals, you're a Poshea because you're giving up, you're shirking an entire element of the Eruv Tafshilin. That's why the Rush thinks that it's called a Poshea even if you had in mind to rely on the rabbi's Eruv, because you're choosing to rely on a subpar Eruv that only provides the component of Heker, right? Provides the component of remembering that you're supposed to treat Yom Tov with respect, but doesn't give you the aspect of actually having personally prepared your Shabbos food. Right? So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation for the Rush.
Is he using the wrong words? Shouldn't be using it on Shabbos as opposed to Kavod Shabbos?
I mean, some people use it that highly formally. I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan is, you know, being, I assume. Okay, I think what we're going to do is probably call it and summarize it here. What we're going to see after this is a bunch of other positions, a few extreme positions of the Baal HaMor. We're going to see the Rishon LeZion, who says what Alan said, which is that, right, there's no limitation here at all. It's just that he wanted to be Konis him, and he could have done anything else. He could have said, okay, you can rely on my Erev Tashilin, but you have to, you know, do 15 push-ups, right? Like, he could have done that too. He just didn't.
I mean, at the end of the day, if by including him, he can do only Shabbos or Kavod Shabbos, then you got to be a little bit of a criminal guy to basically say you can't rely on him, right?
Yeah, and so we'll come to that. We'll also see.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why I was thinking that he's a big Talmid Chacham, and he's making a, like you said, a bigger position. Everybody else in the world, I'm not so worried about, but you,
yeah,
right. Okay. So the
in such a Talmid Chacham, right?
Yeah,
you shouldn't forget.
Okay. Well, I'll make one small point here, which I won't even read it inside because I don't know what it means. But in 13, I put it here from the Chida on that formal notion, right? That a poshea, right? This person who sinned twice is excluded. So he has this thing which he quotes from the Rabbanei Ashkenaz. I don't know who this is. That every time you do an avera by accident twice, it becomes like a mezid.
Wow!
I don't know what that means, but that's how, and he proves it. And he proves it from our Gemara. So you see, this is the extreme of the formal approach, right? Wow. The reason he couldn't rely on it the second time is because Chazal only make takanos for shogegim. And when you do it twice, you transform magically into a mezid. Again, I don't know what this means.
What number is that?
It's 13, if you want to look at it inside. This is the Chida in the Nachal Kedumim. Right, I mean, we can look at it if you want. We can read it quickly. Right, it says maybe b'shem Rabbani Ashkenaz shechidshu d'shtei averos b'shogeg nechshavos kechid echad b'mezid v'ochichu kein mehad debeitza dahu samia to b'shana rishana amar lo lismoch leirv shalo l'shana shnia amar lo kvar posheyat d'shnei pa'amim b'shogeg nechshav kemezid l'fi zeh berach chidah. The chidah used this to explain. Ki ya'asu mikol chatat v'gomer chatot loshon rabim. Right? Hainu, the shnei pa'amim shogeg nechshav kemo limol ma'al. Right? It's because he's quoting the pasuk in Naso. Ki ya'asu mikol chatot ha'adam limol ma'al ba'ashem. So if you do more than one chait, and chait is shogeg, so then it's considered not chait, but mi'ilah, an active, right, a rebellion against God. Valpia Yisol Jevir Ben Chida, and then he, the Daf Al Daf, uses this to explain Tosvos Dim Icher Shnei Tfilos LeHispalhel Lo Matzinu Shiachzol Hispal B'Din Tashlumen. That if you forgot to daven Mariv and Mincha, Mariv and Shachras rather, we don't let you make up Mariv at Mincha. Why? Because you've already forgotten to make up Mariv twice. So now it's not a shogeg anymore. You actively gave up on Mariv. And then the Daf Al Daf says, I don't know what this means. Right? What is two shogegs still does not a mezid make. Right? Even though I can use it to explain things, it's crazy, right? It doesn't make any sense. But
faith.
But that is the extreme of this formal approach, right? Is to say the reason is because it's only for shogegim and not mezidim, and for some formal reason, twice shogeg is a mezid. Okay, so just to summarize, both by Tumen Poshea. Right, we have these two limitations that you can only do for people in your tchum and for someone who's not a posheya. So we have those who think it's a technical exclusion of das, which is Rashi, and therefore you could circumvent it simply by having das. So we saw that by tchum, that as long as you have them in mind, some people add the pragmatic element that you need to also be able to eat the eruv. Then you can rely on it, and those who think it's fundamental, like the Ran, right? That it's a formal issue. We don't want you to make an Eruv for the whole world, so we set up an arbitrary limit, which is the Tchum. The halachic machlokes that we then saw based on the Tzitz Eliezer and the Shevet HaLevi is what happens if the rabbi flees town, right? The Tzitz Eliezer says, well, pragmatically, right, we see that the reason you need to be in the city is because there's that pragmatic component. You need to be able to eat the Eruv. You need to be the beginning of your cooking process. Therefore, if the rabbi flees and the Eruv is with him, right, it's all over. The Shevet HaLevi takes the formal approach and says, no, as long as he was in the city and could have started the cooking process for you, Erev Yontif, you've already been Yotzei your Eruv, and that's all fine. By Poshea as well, Rashi and the Shittum Kovetz said in different ways, based on the Das question, Rashi on the Das of the rabbi, and the Shittum Kovetz on the Das of the person of the Poshea. The Rosh, as understood by the Beit Yosef, takes the formal approach, that we don't let you set it for a Poshea. The Chidah takes this extreme, that the reason is because we don't want it for a mazid, and twice shogeg equals mazid. And then we noted that there's a machlokes, right, between the Rosh and Ben Yerucham. Why are you a poshea? Are you a poshea because you didn't make your own Erev Tavshilin, or because you didn't make sure an Erev Tavshilin was made for you? So if you think it's the latter, so then as long as you know the rabbi made it for you, that's fine. And then we tried to explain, well, why would there be a lechatchila to make your own Eruv? So the Archa Shulchan was Mechadish, that since there's two components to Eruv, there's the reminder element for Kavod Yom Tov, and the starting the cooking process for Shabbos, Bidyeved, a shogeg, will allow you to rely on one element, namely on the reminder element, which you get when the rabbi makes it. Lechatchila, we want you to have the second component, that you started your personal cooking for Shabbos, and therefore if you perpetually refuse to set up your own Eruv, so then we don't even let you rely on it because you're relying on a subpar Eruv. So next time we'll see again the some of these other positions.